Macintosh, open letter. Macintosh, print letter. Macintosh, fax letter.
While everyone else is still trying to build a computer you can understand,
Macintosh, shut down.
We've built a Macintosh that can understand you.
Goodbye.
Best 30 plus minute album conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Elijah. Join me today, Tim Cook calls his new Tim Cook book great stuff, y'all. Leander Caney is here.
Hey, Tim.
Also with us, typos, grammar errors, and run-on sentences give him real bad gas. And as editor of Cult of Mac, he's got gas a lot. Lewis Wallace is here.
Thank God you're not calling me stinky. Hey, how's it going?
I heard that Tim Cook said that your book was the most important topic you've ever written on, Leander.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
The most important book, the most important tech book of the year, I hear. He's been saying to his close confidants.
Yeah, absolutely. Easily.
I wonder if he's going to read it or if he's going to have somebody read it to him.
They're reading it right now. I've just been texting with Apple PR. You know, they're supposed to get in a box today, but it hasn't shown up, so they want to get electronic copies, so I had to arrange that.
Really? God, that's got to be so weird if you're Tim Cook and you find out that some guy has dug into your life and unearthed all these deep, dark secrets that you've been trying to hide your entire life because you have this squeaky, clean image, and yet
I know, and it's just there, page after page, revelation after revelation.
Full of all sorts of torrid details that you'd prefer that right. No one ever knew.
But overall, he loves it, you know? He's going to love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it puts him up on a pedestal, doesn't it?
Well, I think it argues that he's been a really good CEO, a really good, follow-on from Steve Jobs.
I'm so envious. You're definitely getting invited to the Tim Cook Thanksgiving
celebration. Oh, yeah,
this
right?
Year. You're going to probably be like at his right or his left, and he's going to cut you off the first slice. you like legs, y'all. I do, Tim.
And then I'll do the wishbone with him, right? With the pinkies, and he'll wink at me.
Oh yeah, you're getting extra gravy. Oh man, I wish I could be there to enjoy that meal with you guys. You got on his good side for sure with this book. By the way, when does it come out? Because I already forgot.
April 16th.
Okay, April 16th, and the pre-orders are now live on Amazon.
They're live, yeah. Pre-order it.
Yeah, pre-order away, and I'll include a link in the show notes if you guys are still interested. Makes it.
Yeah, if anyone does want to order it, you know, please do pre-order, because pre-order makes a big difference when it comes to, you know, when it comes out. If there's a lot of pre-orders, then it can do the book a lot of good.
Okay, so yeah, make sure you get your pre-orders in, and I have it on good authority to say that if you order it and you're in the California area, Leander might just hand deliver it to you.
That's right. I'll come over and I'll sign it.
It's like the 20th anniversary Mac. He'll show up in a limo.
Is that what they did?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Don't you remember that? You should read Today in Apple History a couple days ago. Yeah, that was the thing. They delivered these. They were like $20,000 machines or something like that, and they delivered them in a limo, and the guy would set it up in your house for you.
He had a pair of white gloves on, and he was like a concierge, wasn't he?
I wish I could have seen this. This sounds unbelievable.
Wow. Well, they should do that with the new Mac Pros. They're going to be about the same price. And in fact, the iMac Pros, wait, we're going to be talking about that in just a sec. The price on the, I was just thinking about this the other day. I was cracking myself up. I should have tweeted this. The price on Apple stuff has gotten to be so expensive that I predict in 2 to 3 years, Apple's best computer is going to be the same price as Tesla's cheapest car. So you're gonna have to choose which one you want, right? Because Tesla keeps bringing the price down and Apple keeps pushing them up. And eventually you're going to have to decide. Anyway, so here's what we got this show. Oh my goodness. I thought it was Hanukkah all over again because we had 3 crazy days of gifts. And I thought maybe Apple was going to keep it going. I thought maybe today, where we're recording on Thursday, I thought maybe they were going to drop off even more hardware, but many of you know they did hardware updates on Monday. They did hardware updates on Tuesday. They did a hardware update on Wednesday. And so We have new iPads. We have new updates to the MacBook Pro, new updates to the iMac Pro. We have new AirPods. I mean, there's a ton of stuff to talk about, and we're going to go through all of it and tell you exactly what happened this week, break it all down for you, and then, you know, talk about what we liked and maybe what we didn't. I don't know if there's anything that I didn't like this week, quite honestly. I was grinning ear to ear from Monday to Wednesday. Although there was one thing actually that they didn't change that really gave me some serious intestinal discomfort. So we could talk about that. But we're going to wrap up with an all new Movie Pass update. Oh yes, that carcass, you walked by it, it had flies flying around it, you poked it with a stick, nothing happened, you moved on, but it has been resurrected from the dead. They have come back with yet another new unlimited plan, and this story just keeps getting better. And I have to admit, my interest has peaked. I am considering going back because I'm a masochist for those unlimited movies. And you guys can try to talk me out of it because it's probably a terrible idea since they'll be out of business in the next couple months. Although I keep saying that, and here we are a year and a half later, and they're still kicking. So what do I know? Before we jump into all of the hardware news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Shaper for supporting this episode. Dude, where are my notes? How does this happen every single week? Take networking from awkward to awesome with Shaper, the number one professional networking platform that uses your experience, interests, and goals to help you make the right connections. Whether you are looking for investors, a co-founder, a new job opportunity, or just inspiring conversations, Shaper can connect you to professionals who truly want to share tips and help you out. Here's how it works. Each day, it suggests 15 people with similar goals and interests for you to meet. And then all you have to do is just go into the app and swipe through the daily profiles, and then you can set up coffees, meet and greets with the people who stand out to you. If you're a professional, the Shaper app is something that you should definitely try out. It's like Tinder for professionals, and it will help you build your network. It will help you build your skill sets, and networks are everything. If you're trying to grow your career, advance in your career, learn new skill sets, it's harder and harder to meet people in your industry as you get older because you're constantly working, and Shaper helps you connect with more people, which is really cool. You can check it out at shaper.co. That's shapr.co. And you can download the app, learn more about Shaper, improve the way you network at shaper.co, shapr.co. Okay, Lewis, why don't you kick us off by first silencing your phone? Is that
That's
your phone?
That's not me. I don't know who that is.
Because I get complaints every single
well,
week.
If it's not Lewis, who is it?
Maybe it is mine. You know what?
It's me. Sorry, yeah. I was in a bit of email.
Shocking.
There.
Shocking. Every week, I have people email me and tweet me and say, whose phone is going off? Because they think it's their phone, because everyone who listens to the show has an iPhone.
I just did a podcast with Leo Laporte's network. And it was pinging, and the producer had to interrupt a couple of times.
Yeah.
To try to get me to turn it off, and I couldn't figure out how to turn it off. I finally did, though.
What?
You couldn't figure out how to turn it off on your iPhone?
I hope you're going to edit
on
that
on my
out.
Mac. It's on my
Boy,
iMac.
That's
I know. Yes. I said live on air. So did anyone here know how to use a Mac?
Oh my God!
Because the sound's coming out. I thought it was it should be coming out of your headphones. So I was messing with the sound settings, but it comes out of the speakers, and you have to go to the notification center.
Your headphones on, but it's coming out of your speakers. That's
coming out of
actually
the machine,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's less embarrassing than I originally thought when you said that. Okay, right. So you have your notifications coming out of your speakers. I've never had that happen before.
Right, and I couldn't figure it out. That's why I was asking, if anyone knew how to use a Mac, and then I figured it out. There's a do not disturb button you can turn on, which I just turned on.
I don't even know how you configured your computer to do that. You must have gone to the sound preferences and
well, it's not in sound preferences. That's what I was thinking. I was digging around in sound preferences, and I was like, what the fuck? Where is this?
Yeah.
I was looking around in notifications. Couldn't find it there either.
Yeah.
It's not in the system preferences dialog box. It's in
hidden.
You have to open up the note. There's a little hamburger menu in the very top right-hand corner of your iMac screen.
Yeah, yeah. I see. I'm looking right at it.
Notifications. And then if you pull down, there's two settings there, night shift and do not disturb.
Okay, so all those notifications we hear are notifications on your Mac?
Yeah.
Interesting. I never get notifications on my Mac. I must have turned that off a long time ago. I'm glad that you figured out how to turn them off. Can you please go do that now?
I just did. Okay, yeah, cool. They're off. They're off.
So you went on Leo Laporte's show today?
Well, it was Triangulation. It's run by Megan Maroney.
Oh, okay.
So it's part of his network.
Did you mention that you also star in another podcast that all his listeners should go listen to? I bet you didn't even mention it, did you?
I know, I forgot
to mention. You should say, hey, when they say, hey, is there anything you want to plug, Leander? You say, actually, yes. I have this podcast that I'm on. If you like what you heard today, you can hear me in even better, more entertaining form on my own podcast where we have more fun than on this lame show. And then drop off a link or something.
Well, I wish I had the opportunity. She didn't give me the opportunity, but...
Well, remember that when you're going on your book
press
tour.
Next time I will go on. I got touched on the producer, and he seemed to be amenable to having me on a couple other things, so we'll
see. Okay, all right. Well, were you guys talking about your book?
Yes.
Okay, because it's coming out soon, right? Guess you got to go out there and start plugging it.
Oh, plugging it every day.
And have you gotten to spoke with Leo Laporte, or do they not let you do that anymore?
Not this time around, but I've been on his show a few times.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite moments was when he said, Leander Kahaney is here. but he wasn't saying it to be funny. He just actually thought your last name was Kahaney.
That's fine.
Which was fun, yeah.
Kahaney.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I put my arm around Leo Laporte and danced with him?
And he, what? Then he, around and
yeah, then he filed a lawsuit against me. The cops came in and arrested me. No, this was at South by Southwest, like... 6 years ago, and I went to one of his live shows, and we ended up dancing together. It was a very touching moment. I'm sure he remembers it even to this day. I wonder if he saw me. I was on his show years ago. I wonder if he saw me, if he would even know who I was. I somehow seriously don't think so. If he saw me on the street, he would never know who I was.
Cross the other side or something.
Or that would happen. Okay, well, let's continue. Lewis, Monday, Apple surprised us all with their first round of hardware updates. What did they announce? Please tell the listeners, if they're interested in spending their money, what can they spend their money on?
Well, a couple of new iPads. One is the iPad Air. You could call it the iPad Air 3, but you know,
That is what I'm calling it, the iPad Air 3.
Yeah, that's not what Apple's calling it. Apple's calling it the iPad Air.
Mm-hmm.
as they like to do, keep those numbers out so everybody can be just kind of confused. Anyway, new iPad Air has 10.5-inch Retina display, A12 Bionic chip, which I think is the exact same one that's in the iPhone XS and XS Max. And it also supports the first-generation Apple Pencil. Not the latest one, but the original one. Performance-wise, just as fast as the iPhone XS. And it replaces, this is really kind of weird, replaces the 10.5-inch iPad Pro that Apple's been selling for, you know, about $650 up until now. They killed that product when they released this new iPad Air. And this one's going for $499 for the 64-gigabyte model. So, let's see, that's if you want a quote-unquote normal-size iPad. If you want a little bitty one, a little bitty precious iPad, you can get the iPad Mini 5, which it's... not really called that, but
I put the numbers in there, so okay.
I know. I just like to say
because Apple doesn't use the numbers, and then no one ever knows what they're talking about when you talk about Apple products because there's no designating numeral or anything to let you know what you're actually speaking about.
I know. What I mean? It's very confusing.
Help me help you.
Anyway, so the iPad Mini now delivers 3 times the performance and 9 times faster graphics than the previous model. This thing hasn't been updated in ages. Now it's got a Retina display with True Tone and wide color support, and it's 25% brighter than the last model. It's also got the A12 Bionic processor that's in this, you know, so basically it's the same machine as the larger iPad Air. It's just smaller. Also supports the Apple Pencil. Has a headphone jack, which, hey, let's face it, that comes in handy sometimes. And it's got the same $399 price tag as the previous iPad Mini. So, if you're looking for an iPad, you know, they just got faster, basically.
That iPad Mini is, I think, out of the two iPads, the iPad Mini is the more exciting one because you're getting a super fast iPad for $400, and it's extremely portable. And it hadn't been updated in forever. And they basically made it they brought parity to the two iPads now, because the iPad Mini before, they just weren't adding the best hardware to it, and the iPad was always a better machine. And now you have this great, super fast little iPad Mini for only $400. I don't need an iPad Mini, but if I were gonna buy an iPad, I think that's the one I would buy. And I'm a little bit sad that I went with the iPad Pro when I could have just waited and gotten one of these for, you know, hundreds of dollars cheaper, because exactly what I feared would happen did happen. It's become my TikTok machine, and all that power just goes to waste. I don't use any of it. It's way overkill for what I use it for, and I try to convince myself that I was gonna use it for other things that I didn't use my previous iPad Air 2 for, and of course I don't. It's become the machine I use to watch TikTok and watch Dr. Disrespect before I go to bed. Although I don't watch Dr. Disrespect as much anymore, because his content is just way too engaging. It wakes me up.
Too invigorating, right?
It's invigorating.
Keeps you awake at night. So exactly. Can't sleep.
You go in there sleepy, and then you see all that fast-paced action. He's dancing. He's dynamic. You look at the mustache, the 6'8" fury. I just...
Jacked.
I'm awake, yeah. Sometimes he flexes his biceps. In fact, he flexes his biceps quite often. He makes him dance, and it's just, you know, you can't go to bed after that.
Yeah. Quite the man crush. Yeah, I like the Mini. Everyone loves the Mini. And how long is it since they've updated it?
I don't even know. Like 3 years?
Several years.
Yeah. 4 years. I've never even owned an iPad Mini. I don't quite understand what makes it so much better than a, you know, just a normal size iPad. I love the 10.5-inch iPad Pro.
It's just more portable. Size. It's easier to carry around. It's easier to hold. And if you don't really have a specific need for the 10.5-inch iPad, then the iPad Mini is now just as fast. It's a great little machine. I've owned a couple of iPad Minis, and in some ways I prefer them. If you read a lot on your iPad, I kind of like how portable and easy it is to hold. So I would prefer to read on the iPad Mini as opposed to the larger, you know, iPad.
I guess it's roughly the same size as like a Kindle Paperwhite, huh?
I've never held the Kindle Paperwhite, so... But
I got one of those.
Oh, you do? Do you actually read on it very often?
Yeah. The Paperwhite's got a nice feel to it. It just seems a little more like a book. Plus, you know, it's about a third the price of this. Third or fourth.
Yeah, they're only like $125, right?
Yeah, and even less. I mean...
Something reasonable.
But, yeah, I can't remember exactly. But
okay, let's talk about Tuesday, because Tuesday is when I started getting real excited. In fact, If I want to sum up how I felt when I saw some of these announcements, it kind of went something like this. Baby. I saw them update that iMac, and they beefed this thing up big time. In fact, in many ways, I think the iMac might be better than the iMac Pro, just due to the fact that, if you didn't know, the iMacs have consumer-grade Intel chips in them, and the consumer grade chips have this technology called QuickSync built in, which makes them much more efficient at exporting H.264 video, which the iMac Pro doesn't have QuickSync. And so in many applications, if you're doing video editing, the iMac is actually faster than the iMac Pro just because of that one technology built in.
What?
And then I know it's sacrilege. A lot of people don't know that.
That's
actually
crazy.
And if you're not working in H.265, you actually lose a lot of the benefit of purchasing an iMac Pro. You could have just gotten an iMac and, you know, put an SSD in it. And now that the iMacs have these beefed up chips, oh, I think they're going to destroy the iMac Pro in a lot of different video situations. We'll have to wait and see what the benchmarks are. But so here's what happened. We'll start with the iMac. The entire iMac line has been updated with Intel's latest 8th and 9th gen core processors, including a 6-core 8th gen Core i7 with Turbo Boost and QuickSync, as I mentioned, and then an absolute monster, an i9, 8-core, an 8-core chip in the iMac. That's available only in the 27-inch 5K iMac. So if you're doing video work, I'm throwing it out again. Baby, 8 cores of pure power. I want you to imagine in your mind's eye Hulk Hogan just ripping his shirt open, because that's what this new 8-core chip is going to be like. as long as they actually cool it appropriately. Apple says the new i7 brings a 60% performance increase for the 21.5-inch iMac, and the new i9, a 240% performance increase if you go that route. And they also added new Radeon Pro Vega graphic options. So in the 21.5-inch, you can get the Vega 20, which is the same chip that they added to the MacBook Pro. You can get the Vega 48 in the 27-inch iMac. Of course, they kept all the best GPUs. I kind of hate that Apple does this. They kept the best GPU for the iMac Pro, and they added the Vega 64 option to the iMac Pro, which I think I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit here. So you can't get the best GPU for the iMac, but still, it's better than the Radeon 590, which is what they were offering forever, for years. I mean, they haven't updated the iMac since July of 2017 or June of 2017, if I'm remembering correctly. That's how long it's been. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Let's see here. They also added new RAM and storage options. You can get more RAM and bigger SSDs if you want. But of course, to Apple's embarrassment, they are still including a 5,400 RPM mechanical hard drive in both iMac base models. I mean, it's 2019. You can play video games and stream them online into perpetuity. You can buy an electric vehicle, but Apple is still putting 5,400 RPM mechanical hard drives into their $2,000 plus computers. It's just absurd. You can get computers that cost $1,400 now in the PC space that are brilliantly powerful, and they would never come with a mechanical hard drive as the base drive. Everything comes with SSDs now, so it's embarrassing that Apple is still gimping in this way. Let's see here. The iMac Pro, I already mentioned, it now has an option for the Vega 64 graphics card and can be purchased with up to 256 gigs of RAM. And let's talk about the MacBook Pros next. So not a lot of really exciting news here, but if you are looking for a MacBook Pro with a huge SSD, well, then this actually could be significant for you. Apple has lowered the cost of the most expensive SSD options. When you're upgrading your SSD to the 2 terabyte option, you can save $200 now. They've lowered the price, surprisingly, shockingly. And $400, they've lowered the price $400 on the 4 terabyte option. Now, the bad news is Apple didn't change the prices on any of the SSD sizes that most normal people would actually buy. If you're upgrading to the 1 terabyte model like I did, no discount there, of course not, because that's the one people are actually paying for. They that upgrade still costs $400. They only lowered the price of the more expensive models, in my mind, because no one was probably buying them. And I didn't mention this from before, but I wanted to point this out about the iMac Pro. If you deck it out, right? So if you get the Vega 64X chip and you deck it out with 256 gigs of RAM, the previous decked out price with all the best stuff that they offered was $10,200. But if you upgrade it now, it's $15,700 for the decked out iMac Pro.
And wow. What do you get for that? How many gigs of RAM?
So I think you get 256 for that. So I think that upgrade alone might be $2,800. It's something. It's outrageous. It's really expensive.
256 gigs of RAM.
That's a lot of RAM. That's crazy.
That is a lot of RAM. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a lot of RAM. I'm not sure. I think that only a very small slice of their user base would actually benefit from that much RAM. Maybe if you're editing Hollywood level movies where you have to have a ton of stuff open on the timeline, or if you're doing fluid dynamic calculations or something. But yeah, for most people,
would you do that on an iMac? I guess you could, right?
Well, that was for the iMac Pro. That was for the iMac Pro. So yeah, that might be the one that you would use to do that. I'm sure it's an incredible machine, but I just got a tweet today actually from someone who works in visual effects, and he said that the industry is actually moving towards PCs and towards NVIDIA graphics cards. And I haven't had a chance to really look at what he said. I just saw it briefly before we started recording, and I was like, that's interesting. So Apple's releasing these really expensive computers that are monsters at actually editing video, but the people that are editing video and visual effects are moving away from Apple. And I'm going to guess it's because of the price. I mean, $16,000 for a computer. You could buy.
Well, look at the. I don't know about that because look, you know, these guys have huge budgets and they're willing to spend anything, you know, for a machine, right? It has, I think, a lot to do with performance and, you know, customability.
Well, if that's true, that makes it look even worse for Apple, because if you can buy a PC that's significantly cheaper than an iMac Pro and it still beats it in performance, ouch. Ouch.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. That was just me.
They've been talking about, I remember back in the late 90s, they were, you know, Hollywood was moving to the PC and they had Windows NT machines that were configured like Macs. So it's always been an ongoing debate.
I really wonder what the... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, doesn't it have more to do with the software as well? I don't know if there's a new package on, you know, Apple's, they're not supporting, you know, Final Cut anymore, right? They're phasing that out. You know, could that have something to do with it?
Yeah, software definitely could, because a lot of people edit on applications that rely on NVIDIA graphics cards. And I think that was the point this visual effects person was talking about. So people just end up buying PCs because the PC or PCs support NVIDIA's newest best cards as soon as they come out, and Apple doesn't really, so...
Yeah.
And people don't use Final Cut Pro to edit Hollywood-grade movies. That's more like a... I hate to call it a prosumer application, but it really is. I don't think any Hollywood pros are using Final Cut Pro. They might be used to.
Remember,
if they did.
Walter Murch made a big deal about it. They used to make a big deal about how he edited on, Final Cut.
Yeah, well, I think Final Cut 7 was something that Hollywood studios used a lot. That was an actual pro-grade application. And then Apple, I remember all of the controversy when Apple basically threw it all away and moved to Final Cut Pro 10, which is a pro version of iMovie, essentially. Yeah. It's way, way less... I don't know if saying it's way less powerful is the right way to describe it, but it doesn't have nearly the capability that pros need. And so pros started going to other applications like Adobe Premiere and Avid, and I'm not familiar with all the pro applications that are used. And I think a lot of those applications are optimized for NVIDIA cards. And NVIDIA turns out new monster cards every single year, and Apple doesn't support these cards.
Why doesn't Apple work with NVIDIA?
I have no idea. I get asked that question somewhat regularly. I really have no idea. I heard there was some huge issue that they had with NVIDIA years ago, and there's some architectures that NVIDIA doesn't support that Apple... that are part of Mac OS. So I really don't know. I honestly don't think there's anything that technically challenging that Apple and NVIDIA couldn't solve if they worked together.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They could accomplish anything they wanted if they were willing to work with each other. And that would be great, because then you would have access to all the newest cards that NVIDIA put out every year, because they're putting out these insanely powerful cards every year. And then Apple...
NVIDIA's a crazy company. They do all sorts of... They're really sort of creative.
You think so?
Great products. Well, because I've been playing around with this Shield, the NVIDIA Shield. It's an Android TV box. Mm-hmm. It's really quite good.
I've heard that, but it's also kind of expensive.
I don't know. I want to say it's less than $200.
Okay.
I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
hold on, let me see.
And it runs Android TV, and you are actually enjoying the experience?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good, I like the fact that, because I didn't use it for a while and then I had to update it, and they've been updating, they're always updating it. You know, they're obviously paying attention to this, and it's the most popular Android TV box on the market. It's the leading one.
Well, it's the only one with any brand name too. I've literally never heard of another Android TV box.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I think they build them into TVs themselves, right?
Yeah, which is why I was asking you if you liked it, because the Sony televisions have Android TV built in, and I keep hearing what a horrendous turd it is.
Well, on the Shield, it's perfectly fine. I mean, to be honest, I've only dabbled with it. You know, I've just watched a bit of Netflix, and I haven't... I played a couple of games, mm-hmm. Which was really frustrating. But, you know, you can stream games using NVIDIA's streaming service, which I'm going to check that out next. I've heard a lot of good things about that. People are really raving about that. But it's, it's like $200. It's $180 for the basic model and $199 for a gaming edition, which comes with a controller.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go to $299 for a pro one, which has like a bigger a 500 gigabyte hard drive built in to be a Plex media server.
Uh-huh.
But this thing runs Plex and a whole bunch of apps, and it really seems quite capable. And it seems like really nicely laid out. And I like the fact that they put the content front and center. You know, like when you boot up the Apple TV, you get all the apps, right?
Yeah.
You get the app icons. On this thing, you get what you've been watching. You know, so I've been watching Narcos on Netflix. So there it is, Narcos on Netflix. You know, continue watching. So I don't have to go hunting for the Netflix app, open it up, and then go looking for the Narcos. You know what I mean? It's like they stick all that, and all the new movies, they stick right. It's there on the home screen, you know, when you open it up. All the content. It concentrates on content rather than apps. And it seems like, heck, this is what Apple should be doing. You know,
well, wait till Monday. Maybe it will be. Yeah.
Right.
Which we forgot to mention. How do we forget to mention this? The keynote is Monday. And of course, we'll be talking about everything they announce on our next show. So, and I'm sure Cultimax is doing what, like a live blog or something, Leander?
Yes, we are. Yeah, so, yeah, we're all over it.
Okay, great. So maybe they will be updating their app to reflect some of those changes and put the media front and center. I know what you mean. I'm so confused by the Apple TV layouts. It's not like I don't know how to navigate it, but there's certain screens that it puts you on, and it shows you content that I don't even have access to. It shows me all these channels that I don't get. It shows me all this content that I don't watch, and I don't know why it constantly is putting me into this screen. And the controller I find to be confusing too. Like, you don't really know which buttons do what and why they work the way they do. I just find it, the whole experience, to be a little bit more archaic than it needs to be.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's like they tried to make it too simple.
I don't know if they tried to make it too simple or if they're trying to push you into some level of content when you first turn on the Apple TV so that you have access to like this full array of, I don't know, mainstream media or mainstream content that they want you to see, and they're hoping that maybe you'll buy it. I guess maybe it's the conflation of your content and then the actual store stuff they are trying to blend together. And I don't ever use the store, so I don't really even ever need to see this. I kind of like the content first perspective that you talked about, Leander. And that's how it is on Plex. When you log into Plex, it's like, hey, here's all your content. What do you want to watch?
Right.
And on the Apple TV, it's like, oh, here are all these apps. Do you want to go into like this whole array of apps that you've never used before? No, I don't. I really just want to watch YouTube. That's all I want to go into, right?
Yep.
It'd be nice if you could set user profiles and just have it load the app of your choice as soon as you go in.
Yeah.
Right. All this stuff is probably totally doable, and there's someone listening right now just shaking their heads, being like, these idiots.
Use it.
Yeah.
I can't find my remote, by the way. Anybody got a spare?
Uh-oh, well, that costs as much as the Apple TV.
God. Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Or just use your phone.
Yeah. You know what? I've been doing it, and that's completely annoying. If you think that the remote itself is annoying, try using your Apple or your iPhone.
Because then you
got
to boot
Apple
up your phone and wait for it to connect and stuff.
Oh, it's just not very good. Anyway.
All right. Well, Leander, tell us about Wednesday, because I got to do this MoviePass story, and we're running low on time here. So let's wrap up with the big news. The big news.
Yeah, I think this is the one everyone was waiting for, really, was the new AirPods. AirPods 2 Woo-hoo! Came out. Delivered Wednesday, another surprise announcement. And these ones give you hands-free Hey Siri and better battery life. So the newest wireless buds are here with a brand new H1 chip that allows for the hands-free Hey Siri and better battery life in between charges and even faster connectivity, apparently. So I think it adds, what, an extra hour to...
extra hour of talk time is what it adds.
Talk time.
But the same how much for listening time.
How much is listening time? Same?
Yeah, exactly the same.
What?
Yeah, it's odd. It's odd. I checked the specs because I didn't know what this was. Yeah, 1 hour extra of talk time per charge and the exact same listening time. It's weird.
Okay, that's interesting.
That begs my noodle. How can that work?
Yeah.
Well, listening is one way, right?
Does it cut out, but you can still keep talking?
you can't hear
anything, but you can talk?
You're just burning more energy when you're talking than if you're just listening to something.
Well, Leander, you forgot to mention the other part of the AirPods.
Yeah, no, hold on. I was getting to it.
What a showman. He's just dragging it out.
Didn't mean to answer your question.
Really building up
things.
To that.
You want me to just rush through this, right?
So go for it.
So you can talk about MoviePass. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's an optional wireless charging case. So if you can stick it on a key charger and it'll charge up wirelessly. And this is when was this promised? Like 2 years ago or something?
Yeah, when the iPhone 10 came out, I think.
Right. So this finally they come out. And but you know, of course, typical Apple. None of this is cheap. The AirPod 2s with a regular case are the same price as the previous AirPods, at $160. But if you want to get the wireless charging case, they're now $200. And if you want to buy the wireless charging case on its own, it's $79, which, you know, that seems, it's kind of,
it's very expensive.
Could be, you know, worse. Pretty expensive.
It works with the original ones, though, which is something.
Yes.
And by the way, when you lose your charging case in the first place, doesn't a normal one cost like 50 or something to replace or 60? So.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know. Is it worth it to you guys? You both have AirPods, right? Is it worth buying new AirPods to get the Hey Siri and the wireless charging case?
I thought so.
Me too.
I bought some.
I evoked the name, which you shan't mention on the show when you're trying to record. Did you guys hear that? Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What did you say, Lewis?
Well, I mean, yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I bought them, you know, I mean, if I didn't work for Cult of Mac, would I have bought them? I'm not 100% sure. But
okay.
I have this funny feeling that, you know, this improved connectivity, faster stuff like that, I think that's going to be a little bit of a, you know, of an improvement the way that Apple Watch Series 3 was to Apple Watch Series 4. You know, it's like Series 3 works fine, but then, whoa, Series 4 works way better. And, you know, AirPods in general work pretty great. But, you know, they're not the fastest things connecting to your phone. If you're switching from one thing to another, they're not the fastest.
Definitely not.
And so, I mean, I think they're the best ones that I've tried, and I've tried many, many Bluetooth headphones. But I think, you know, these next ones I think will be better. And I think that after a while of using the new ones, you're going to be like, oh, my God. If you have to use the old ones, you're going to be, oh, my gosh, it takes 4 seconds to connect. You know, it's like, so anyway, I think it's going to be good. The wireless charging case, to be honest, I'm not that excited about that. I went ahead and sprung for it just to check it out. But I don't actually find charging the case with a lightning cable to be all that onerous.
Me either.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
you only have to do it like once a month anyway, really, right?
Well, I don't know. I use those things hours and hours every day, so I charge it every few days. But yeah, it's not like an iPhone where you have to charge it, you know, basically every day, maybe multiple times a day. And I'll be very curious to see how this wireless charging case works. I mean, I tried this third party charging case. It's kind of like a silicone wireless charging thing that you put on over top of your existing AirPods case, right? And my God, that thing was annoying because you try to set it on the little charging puck, and sometimes I'd spend like 30 seconds trying to get it, you know, just so it would start charging. And I'd be very curious to see if the Apple one works better somehow, if it's more like, oh, just plunk it down, you know, because that's the promise of wireless charging, right? You plunk it down on that thing. You don't have to think about how to mess with
anything. Toss it down,
yeah. But it's not even that way with iPhones, you know? I mean, you set an iPhone down, sometimes you really have to make sure you place it just exactly right, unless you have, like, one of those ones that holds it in, you know, like a portrait mode in a very specific way. I find those to be pretty convenient. The little discs that, you know, everybody was saying we're all going to have, I don't know. So far, I found those things to be kind of finicky, and I'd be very curious. Well, I mean, I hope Apple actually comes out with this air power charging mat at some point that's supposed to take care of this problem.
Apparently, it's being manufactured
right now. Yeah.
Like, they finally released to manufacture.
Yeah, supposedly. Anyway, I don't know. The good thing about this new AirPods wireless charging case is that it also works with a lightning cable. So it's not either or.
One or the other.
Yeah, this third-party thing that I was using, if you put it on the case, you can no longer use it as a lightning cable. You can take it off, but you can't, while it's on there, it's only going to charge wirelessly. And honestly, that was more annoying than the lightning cable. So,
little conspiracy theory here. I don't know if this is true or not, but it kind of makes sense. I was reading online, somebody was saying that the wireless charging capability on the iPhone, if you use it a lot, will actually wear out your battery a lot faster. And his logic was that when you plug your phone in, it stops using your battery and it starts using the power in the lightning cable. But when you use the magnetic charging, your battery is always being used and it's heating up a lot because you're both charging it and using it at the same time. And so it degrades your battery life and it's much better to use the cable to charge your phone. Does that make sense? I mean, it sounds like it could work that way. I don't know if it's true.
If wireless charging, if there was a wireless charger everywhere and you could just set it down and it would just instantly start charging, it was nearly as fast. I mean, you could see how it could be kind of cool, but I don't know. I love lightning cables, to be honest. and USB-C too, for that matter. I mean, what I really hated was the old USB-C mini cables. Oh my God.
Yeah, those I hated those things too.
Forever trying to figure out which end is up. Ugh.
And even when you have it right, you'll try to click it into place, and it still doesn't work sometimes. And so you're like, oh, do I have this wrong? And then you look at it, you're like, no, I had it right. It just wasn't going into the port.
And those things, I swear to God, the ports get like jacked up and bent and just malformed. Very simple.
I never had that happen.
Well, you never tried jamming it in the wrong way, two or three good jabs. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's why I like lightning. And I don't know. I do like
lightning. It's one of my all-time favorite connectors. I mean, it goes in both ways. It's always easy to snap into place. Just a little bit of force and it goes bloop. It just goes right in. It's a great, as far as connectors go, it's a great one. And the pantheon of connectors, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? I think that covers all the hardware. So, kind of a breathless week. I mean, we got tons of different hardware. And even though it was not a bunch of revolutionary upgrades, we didn't get an all-new iMac. And in fact, when you look at the upgrades that we got, the spec bumps that we got, I should say, in the arc of how long these products have been around, it is a little bit disappointing, isn't it? They didn't get, nothing really got redesigned, nothing got better in any significant way. We just got some hardware changes, but they were long overdue hardware changes. And especially in regards to the iMac, the power available on the iMac now is exactly what I have always hoped that they would put in the iMac. So I'm very happy. Now we just have to wait and see if Apple is able to cool these damn i9s appropriately so that you can actually use them at their advertised clock speeds and they're not constantly underclocking themselves like with the MacBook Pro.
You know,
it looks like an insane machine.
It reminds me of one thing we didn't mention, or I didn't mention, on the iPads. These still have Touch ID, not Face ID.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things about these that are just like, a little bit better version of what it was, right? It's not, those are definitely not the latest, greatest design. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised and disappointed it didn't have Face ID.
Yeah.
Although it's not surprising, is it? I mean, it's only compatible with the first generation iPad or Apple Pencil.
And the pencil thing is really weird. I mean,
it was weird too. Then I started reading about it and I was like, okay, this actually makes sense. The reason they didn't make them compatible with the new pencil is because in order to charge the pencil, you have to have that magnetic charger included in the iPad, which adds to the expense, right? And then, yeah, they would have had to actually change the form factor. So they would have had to do an all new redesign instead of just a spec bump.
Yeah.
I see. Got it.
Right? So it kind of makes sense that they weren't able to do it this round until they upgrade the iPad Air 3 and the iPad Mini 5, Lewis.
You and your numbers.
Some new designs. By the way, that iPad Mini would look real sexy if they made it look like the iPad Pro. Anyway, just saying. Okay, let's move on. Let's do a quick MoviePass update because I know some of you out there love hearing about the saga of MoviePass, the never-ending story. You hear that? I think I saw Falcor fly over from the NeverEnding Story. He's going to pick up Atreyu, and they're going to go see a movie a day for the rest of the month. So I want to give a quick shout out to McDonald Ted. McDonald Ted, I'm looking at you. Are your butt cheeks tingling? They should be right now because I got my hands on them in my mind's eye. This was a story suggestion by him on Twitter.
I'm sorry, what? McDonald Ted? Are you sure you haven't got that one way around?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I looked at his,
come on, McDonald Ted.
Yeah, I looked
not
at
Ted McDonald.
I looked at his name on Twitter. Is Ted McDonald supposed to mean something to me?
No, but I mean, Ted is a first name.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You think that I have dyslexia and I'm reading it the wrong way? you're basically saying that I'm a huge idiot. And I now I need to know. Let's see here. Yes. Okay. Yes, Leander, his actual Twitter name is McDonald underscore Ted, and his name is listed as MT. So no, I don't have that backwards. If I had called him Ted McDonald, then I would be the illiterate.
All right, well, yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. About, I'm literally looking at it on Twitter right now, so I'm pretty sure I have it right. Okay, unless I actually do have dyslexia and you go look at it and you're like, no, actually, you have it wrong. You're just seeing it the wrong way. The plot thickens. Okay, on to MoviePass. On Monday, MoviePass announced yet another new plan, which it's calling the Uncapped Plan. This is like a T-Mobile move here. Under the Uncapped Plan, subscribers can now once again watch one 2D film a day for $19.95 a month. So they doubled the price, right? And this price is more in line with like Stubbs A-List, which, by the way, I hear is doing really well. And for a limited time, you can get this same deal for $9.95 a month if you are willing to commit to a one-year payment. So you pay them for the entire year up front, right? I'm like, right. Oh.
2 weeks before they go out of business. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, can we trust MoviePass? Would you trust
MoviePass
at this point with $120? But we've been saying they're going to be gone this last year and 3 or 4 months, and yet here they are. They're still here.
I know, but it's a zombie. They're zombies.
you might be more right than you know. Yeah. They're just walking around, pointless, helpless, clueless. And the best part of this is to affirm my suspicion. So they're playing games in their terms of service. So there's this line in their user agreement now that gives MoviePass the right to throttle filmgoer options in the event that an individual's use of the service has an adverse impact on quote-unquote MoviePass's system-wide capacity or availability of the service to other subscribers, aka we're running low on money and you're seeing movies, Jumanji yeah. way too many times. So it seems like they're able to play games and not show you all the movies that you would otherwise be able to see, maybe not show you all the movie times. I was reading some guy's comments on this story, and he said, this is before this plan went into place, but he went to the movie theater to see a movie with his wife, and he got a ticket, and then they locked his wife out of her account, and they weren't selling any more tickets for that movie. So she had to go home and watch the kids. And so they're constantly playing games, although I have to say this is still somewhat appealing because I don't think that they could sell a plan like this and then just not show people movies and stay in business for very long. But of course,
are you sure? That's exactly what they did before. I mean, you know, you said they're like zombies. I think they're more like the saviors. They're like just constantly like taking. Oh, you haven't seen that season I have seen it.
Yeah, I have seen it. Right. So he's making a Walking Dead reference, by the way, for those guys.
Sheesh.
Right.
How could you trust these people? You know, you ever heard that old saying, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Fool me twice.
God, I mean.
Shame on me again.
Toward the end of my amazing membership in that amazing program, they changed their what was available every day. And then it became just, nothing's ever available. Oh, do you want to drive 30 miles to see a movie you don't want to see? That's your option today.
At 6 a.m.
Thanks,
yeah.
Movie Pass. No thanks.
You can see Steel Magnolias, too, God. If you're willing to drive to Los Angeles.
How long were you a member for, Lewis?
Well, I bought the one-year pass, you know, just like this. And of course it's very appealing, right? Yeah, I'd like to go see as many movies as I want for $10 a month. And then 2 months later, you can't.
That's a good point. They're thieves
and liars.
And maybe they're on the verge of going out of business, but this is their their last ditch attempt to just do a cash grab and bolster their stock before they go down burning. I would be willing to pay for a monthly pass. No way would I be willing to pay them a yearly membership. There's just...
Yeah, you want it day to day, right?
Yeah, exactly. I want like one of those day to day hotels, you know, those afternoon hotels. That's what I want for MoviePass. Like, I'll pay you for 4 or 5 hours of use, and then be on my way. But it is appealing. I mean, the dream of MoviePass is so alluring. You pay them a fee, and then you get to go see one movie every single day. Man, was that a good run? I saw so many good movies.
what, Jumanji 25 times?
That's actually, yeah, more accurate. I saw like 5 movies about 25 times.
You're better off just getting a Netflix subscription. I mean, that seems to be where the action is these days.
I just, Netflix has totally lost my interest. All the Netflix content. I'm not feeling all the original Netflix content. None of it seems to interest me.
No, some of it's really good. I'm really getting into it.
I don't doubt there is some, but it seems like a needle in the haystack type of situation on Netflix now, where most of it is just not interesting, and then there's like a couple of shows that you might actually enjoy.
Well, they're bigger than the U.S. box office now. You know, they have more revenue than the
that's movie incredible.
Business,
that's
which
incredible.
Is crazy.
Yeah,
and so you know, like with things like Roma, I think it's just, you know, the action's moving towards that model.
You might be right, although. AMC Stubs, if you've got one near you, they have a plan that it changes in price depending on your specific locale. It's more expensive in cities and stuff, of course, but they let you see 3 movies a week, 2D movies, 3D movies, IMAX movies, and I haven't heard any complaints at all about AMC Stubs. You pay them like between $20 and $25 a month to see that level of movies every week, and everyone that I know that's a member really enjoys it. Plus, you get discounts on snacks and stuff. So if you have an AMC near you, that might just be the way to go.
I thought that was just for like 2 or 3 movies a month or something.
It's two or three movies a week. Well, I mean, it's as unlimited as it needs to be. I mean, who's got time to see more than 2 or 3 movies a week? I don't. I barely have time to see 1 movie a week.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I'm saying, Lewis?
Yeah.
Are you feeling me on that, Lewis?
Yeah, but so what is appealing about it, though? I mean, is it even that much cheaper, really? I mean, yeah, you get a 20% discount on snacks or something. I don't know. Whatever. At least they're not going out of business next week.
Well, in Seattle, a movie to see 1 movie costs $14. So if you use it twice a month, you're already $5 ahead.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. I mean, the last time I went to see a movie, I was kind of shocked by how much it cost.
$16
to go see a movie.
16 bones?
Thanks, San Francisco. Love to pay that price.
And you had to watch a homeless guy take a big poop in the alley on the way to the movie theater.
Actually, it was pouring down rain, so, you know... It wasn't that. The streets were not that clogged.
It was washing away.
Yeah.
The city got a free street cleaning there. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. We'll, of course, have a lot more to talk about next week after Apple does their after their big Showtime event on Monday, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, we'll be live blogging that and stuff on Cultimac. But that's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come say hi or talk to us about any of the stories that we mentioned on today's show, we're all on Twitter. I'm at Airfun. Leander is at L. Caney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Lewis, would you like to take this one?
Oh, I couldn't possibly.
Leander, you take it. Put some
next time, y'all.
Whoa!
Busted out that fast Tim Cook impression.
That was far better than I would have expected it to be.
Better than Lewis's earlier.
It was definitely better than Lewis's. Which is surprising, because, you know, you have an accent.
Can you do some videos for us?
Man, I'm barely doing videos for me right now. I'm so...
F you. Just do it for us. If you do it for us, then you won't have a problem.
Oh, yeah? How does that solve any of my problems?
Because you'll get more views.
I don't care about views. I'm trying to build...
Why not?
I'm trying to build... Because views don't get you anything. They don't get you crap.
Of course they do.
Well, they get...
You get a rep, you know?
They get you ad revenue, but...
You can be famous.
Yeah. You know who else?
You can be an influencer.
Oh, can I? Oh, shoot. Well, now you're talking me into it. I'll see what I can come up with, Leander. Do you guys have anyone making any videos for you guys right now?
Yeah, what's his face? Ian Fuchs.
Oh, cool. All right. Sometimes when I'm editing my videos, even I get annoyed. I'm like, I got to cut this out. This is getting over the top, you know? Like, and I always tell myself, okay, this is going to be the one where I don't act like a total chode. And then I edit the video, and sure enough,
chode.
There's the chode on full presentation, right? It's like, I can't help it. The Gadget Hunter, he just takes over. I don't even know what to do. I don't even. It's like the Incredible Hulk, right? He's like, you know, I don't want to get mad because then the Hulk comes, and it's like that's the same thing that happens. You turn on the camera, and I just turn into the Incredible Chode. Me can't help it.